All right. Hi, everybody. It's good to see you. I can't figure out where Shauna is. Where are you, Shauna? I see a hand. Are you at Jay's?
I'm at Jay's house.
Okay. All right, good. So 2 weeks ago, I read the first part of a message that's dated December 26, 1980. And since it was 2 weeks ago, I don't have any remembrance of what was in that message. So what I'm going to do is begin at the beginning again. And then I'll let you know when we get to the new part. This, of course, is in consciousness and the absolute. So December 26th, 1980, Maharaj says, out of what is the body created? And the questioner says, so here we have Maharaj asking the questions and the questioner giving the answer. So Maharaj says, out of what is the body created? And the questioner says, it is an expression of consciousness. Oh, hold on, sleepiness just came. Oh. Okay, Maharaj says, is this body not composed of the five elements? You know that you exist. Does not this knowledge depend on the five elements? The consciousness cannot be known without the body. It depends on the form. And I remember saying I was a bit puzzled about this last time because, you know, maybe there's a belief here that that consciousness can know itself without a body, right? Maybe there's something here that doesn't want to hear that without a body we cannot know ourselves. Of course, I think I commented last time that I had that experience of being an apple. And although as an apple, I didn't know myself as human, I did know myself as, you know, being, existing. But if you think about it, an apple is a type of body, isn't it? So Nisargadatta is saying, you know that you exist. Does not this knowledge depend on the five elements? The consciousness cannot be known without the body. It depends on the form. The questioner says, do you mean that without the body, I do not know that I am? And Nisargadatta says, that is correct. From your own experience, not what you have heard or read, can you know that you exist without the body? So Nisargadatta seems to be pointing out also to the questioner that there is a belief. There's a belief that without the body, one would still know that he or she exists. From your own experience, not what you have heard or read, can you know that you exist without the body? The questioner says, I exist without this body. Nisargadatta says, forget about what you have read. When you did not have the experience of this body, did you have the experience of being? There's this sense that I reach from time to time. I don't have it all the time. It's not consistent. But it's a sense that I reach, which I call the first principle of God. And the first principle of God could best be described maybe as life without the sense of I am. And so I wonder if this is what Nisargadatta is pointing to right? The life intelligence without the sense of I am. Whenever I touch this, I understand why the ego is afraid of it. I understand why any sense of I am, I exist, would be afraid of it, because that isn't in it, right? That sense of I am, that sense of I exist, isn't in the first principle of God. That begins at the second principle of God. But at the same time, the other sense that I get when I touch the first principle of God is, you know, this is the truth. This is the ultimate reality. We may want the ultimate reality to be a sense of I exist, a sense of I am, but it's just not the case. And yet that is what we would call eternal life. That is what we would call the source. So again, the questioner says, I exist without this body. And Nisargadatta says, forget about what you have read. When you did not have the experience of this body, did you have the experience of being? And that's an interesting question, because I don't recall not having this body. I don't recall prior to birth. But I suppose one reason I don't recall prior to birth, one possibility, is because there was no sense of I am there to recall anything. I mean, I have to at least accept that as a possibility. I definitely cannot say, I remember before I was conceived, and I definitely had the sense of I am. I can't say that. The questioner says, my English is not very good. I cannot express it, but I know I am. And I remember commenting on this last time. I thought that was very interesting. I didn't know Nisargadatta knew English. I thought Nisargadatta spoke Hindi or something. Here we have a person using the fact that their English is not very good as an excuse for why they cannot communicate with Nisargadatta here. It's kind of an interesting comment, but it's not unimportant. My English is not very good. I cannot express it, but I know I am. I guess what this makes me want to do is reflect on the stubbornness that wants to exist. I mean, is there anything wrong with being life without the sense of I am? Especially if that's the truth. So what is this stubbornness that wants to know that I exist, wants to know that I am? To me, that seems to be a sense of distinctness. It's something that wants to be distinct. It's not happy with indistinctness. Nisargadatta says, before you were born, could you have felt or sensed or known that you exist? A Yanani, or an enlightened one, is free because he sees that the body is made up of the five elements and it works according to the nature of those elements. I see that body, but I am not concerned with whatever the body does. There is nothing in it with which I can identify. The essence of the combination of the five elements is the sense of being, of existing. The essence of the combination of the five elements is the sense of being, of existing. What I hear in that is, um, there's something here that you can kind of hit and say, I. Right? There's a physical form that you can hit and say, I. The essence of the combination of the five elements is the sense of being, of existing. It has all come simultaneously. I have no part in it. Feeling that I am present depends on having a body. I am neither the body nor the conscious presence. In this body is the subtle principle I am. That principle witnesses all this. You are not the words. Words are the expression of space. They are not yours. Still further, you are not that I am. So he seems to be very, very clearly pointing towards that first principle of God. He says, again, I am neither the body nor the conscious presence. So he's definitely pointing at that which is beyond consciousness as the truth of what we are. Again, he says, still further, you are not that I am. You know, one of the things that that I also see sometimes in meditation is that I witness the I am principle. That I can see the sense I am. So if I can see the sense I am, I know I can't be that. Again, he says, still further, you are not that I am. The questioner says, what am I then? And Nisargadatta says, who is asking? The questioner says, there is nothing here. No I. Nisargadatta says, who is asking this? The questioner says, there is a sense of something. I don't know what it is. Nisargadatta says, if you feel that sense of something, can it be the truth? That's like what I said, I notice sometimes in meditation that I see the I am. I can witness the I am like an object. If I can see it, can it be ultimately what I am? If I can see that sense, that feeling of I am. If you feel that sense of something, can it be the truth? When this consciousness goes into oblivion, who is to say what state that is? Now, by oblivion here, I think he means what we call physical death. You know, the sweeter way of saying this, because this consciousness going into oblivion isn't very sweet. The sweeter way of saying this is what I read today when we were reading the Tao Te Ching, and it talked about how the Tao gives everything life and everything returns to the Tao. It's a sweeter way of saying it, but it's actually saying the exact same thing as what I read today. Everything returns to the Tao. Consciousness goes into oblivion. Those are the same statements. So when consciousness goes into oblivion, does that mean there's death? And that's what the ego wants to think. The ego wants to think if consciousness goes into oblivion, there's death. If there's no more sense of existing, there's death. If there's no more sense of I am, there's death. But the Tao today did not say that. The Tao today talked about how the Tao gives life to everything, and the Tao goes on. Everything returns to the Tao, and the Tao goes on. So what we're being faced with is that our ultimate truth is prior to consciousness. But it's not death. It's still life. It's just not life with the sense of I am. And if this is the truth, why deny it? And why call it death when it's not death? If you feel that sense of something, can it be the truth? If you can be aware of it, is that your ultimate truth? When this consciousness goes into oblivion, who is to say what state that is? And the questioner says, I don't know. And now we're starting new material that I didn't read 2 weeks ago. Because your I am-ness is not there, you do not know yourself. When you began knowing that you are, you did a lot of mischief. But when the I am is not there, there is no question of mischief. Actually, I did read that. That was the last paragraph I read last time, because I remember I was reading this and my mind was blocking it. My mind didn't want to hear what Nisargadatta was saying. It was that part of me that wants to believe there's always a sense of I am. And so it was blocking it, and it wouldn't listen. It wouldn't hear. And I think I was even saying, as I was reading this, I think I might have been saying, I don't understand this. Let's keep reading. I don't understand this. Let's keep reading. And then I got to this part, and I understood. Because your I am-ness is not there, you do not know yourself. When you began knowing that you are, you did a lot of mischief. But when the I am is not there, there is no question of mischief. That's when I understood that we were talking about the first principle of God. You know, we could say that consciousness does a lot of mischief. I mean, all you have to do is look at the world. All you have to do is read the news stories about people killing their children. That's a news story I read today, a woman who killed her 3 children and herself after her divorce was final. Or we have, I think it was yesterday's news story about some drug cartel in Mexico killing some women and children, including infants, babies, who were on their way to a wedding. Or we could go on and on and on. There's a lot of mischief in consciousness. But in the first principle of God, it's not even possible. Without the sense of I am, there is no mischief. There's only the purity of life as it is. Because your I am-ness is not there, you do not know yourself. When you began knowing that you are, you did a lot of mischief. But when the I am is not there, there is no question of mischief. Again, the ego wants to call this death. It isn't death. It's life. It's pure life. The questioner says, is the I am there all the time as long as my body is there? That's a good question. Nisargadatta says, the I am is absent only in the state of samadhi, when the small self merges into the true self. Otherwise, it will be there. In the state of the realized person, the I am is there. He just doesn't give much importance to it. A Yanani is not guided by a concept. So what he's saying here is, in that state of samadhi, that's when the human knows life without the I am. But whenever one is out, the attention is out in the world, the sense of I am is always there. It's just, again, the enlightened person having seen beyond it, having knowing what the truth is beyond the body. Doesn't give the I am any real importance. That would be like, right now, I don't give the ego, as I see the ego, I don't give the ego any real importance. In fact, I see it both in me and others, and I just don't give it any real meaning. I focus more on what I call awareness, but I think that, to be genuinely honest, it's probably the I am principle. But I focus more on that sense of existence. That's a good way to see it. I focus more on that sense of existence in myself and in others. Well, here he's talking about one step further. He's talking about seeing that sense of existence as unimportant, and only the true life as having any real meaning. I just got a text, which I'll share with you all. Our chairman of the board, Hal Seeley, had a stroke, and he's in ICU. And I just got a text from his wife. She says that he is still in ICU, but he is off the ventilator and still dealing with a number of serious issues. She says he needs a lot of positive energy right now. I'm just going to tell her thank you. So for those of you who didn't know, Hal had a stroke. You know, as I'm reading this, I'll read this paragraph again. The I am is absent only in the state of samadhi, when the self merges into the true self. Otherwise, it will be there. In the state of a realized person, the I am is there. He just doesn't give much importance to it. A Yanani is not guided by a concept. There was something I was going to say, and it like, poof, just slipped away. So there's still some resistance to this. Because whatever I was going to say, it was like, poof, it ran away. We'll see if it comes back. It just completely left, so I'll go on. Do we have a relationship, Maharaj, when I think I should be here with you? This is the questioner. Do we have a relationship, Maharaj, when I think I should be here with you? Nisargadatta says, the very thought is the relationship. The questioner says, the intensity of my longing to be here made me wonder if Maharaj thinks of his disciples. And he says, I think of them more than you know. And that's the end of that particular message, which was kind of a funny ending. I guess the disciple who loves Nisargadatta is saying, my gosh, if you don't give the I am much importance, do you care at all about me? Oh, and now I remember what I was going to say. It came back. So as I read this, I'm reminded again of that video we saw both in Gentle Healing Year 1 and Gentle Healing Year 2, Dr. David Hawkins talking about being at the threshold of the final awakening, and talking about realizing that he had surrendered everything except, he used the words, life itself. You know, so as much as we might be resistant, or at least as much as I might be resistant to this message sometimes, it does seem to be a clear message. That's what the four principles of God are all about, that there is a truth, a source beyond consciousness. And if it's beyond consciousness, it has to be beyond consciousness. You know, it's like part of us wants to, we want it to be beyond consciousness and yet be consciousness too, right? So what we're hearing is that's not the case. It's beyond consciousness. Yesterday when I was doing some contemplation in the Seven Steps to Awakening, I looked up the word consciousness in the dictionary and none of the definitions seemed to fit. And so I clicked on the thesaurus to see if I could find a word there that would help me with my contemplation. And it was so funny when I clicked on the thesaurus because it said, no entries found. That's it, isn't it? You know, that's pure consciousness, no entries found. And yet we still want to believe there's some kind of an entry there. All right, I'm going to release the mic. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight with this tough teaching, guys. You're really something to even sit there and listen to this. All right, bye.